What are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixed.
Hey, this is not a test. Oh, my God, it's early.
Road trip after hours.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to an all-new episode of Road Trip After Hours. I'm your host, Mac Davis, along with my WWE Hall of Famer co-host, Mr. Teddy Long. Hey, Teddy, how you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Mac, man? I just can't wait. I'm really excited today. We got a great show for the people. Got the legendary, my man Lex Luger is in the building, and it's going to be such an honor to be able to talk to Lex, because Lex is one of the guys that I watched my whole career. You know what I mean? I was refereeing, putting up the ring, taking the ring down, and I was working with Lex at that particular time. So just to be here and be able to now talk to him on a different level is just a blessing from God. So, man, without any further ado, Mac, let's bring him in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Lex Luger.
Lex, welcome.
Hey, what an intro. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Man, I got to tell you something. I got a memory of Lex. I don't remember a lot of first times with people, but I do remember the first time I met Lex Luger. I was in Jacksonville, Florida. I was working for a radio station, and got a chance to go into the back, and it was the Jacksonville Coliseum. And I got to meet Sting. Now, this is during the time when Sting got injured. And, he had been out for a while, but he had just come back, started working house shows, getting ready to come back to TV. And I got to meet him, and I got to meet you. And I remember you walking by just this massive. Now, I was a lot younger, a lot smaller than I was later on. But but I saw this massive guy walking towards me, and he's got this little Tupperware dish eating some kind of food out of the Tupperware dish. And
getting my protein in, my grams of protein.
Yeah, man. But I just remember thinking this guy was
giant. Obsessed.
Yes, you were. But you looked great back then. Lex, one of the reasons we thought about bringing you into the show is that just last week we did an interview with Bruiser Brody's wife, and we were talking to her.
I met her a while back finally at a get-together in Charlotte. It was great.
Yeah,
she's a very, very nice woman.
Yes.
Enjoyed meeting her.
And we were talking about the Bruiser Brody moment of you in the cage. Can you kind of tell us what happened in that cage? Because no one ever seems sure exactly what happened in that match.
I get that asked that all the time. But, Teddy, I want to say something to you, Teddy. You talk about having me on and how we go way back. Right when I talk to young people about chasing after a dream, I tell them about putting in the work, and being persistent and gritty. Ted, you are the example of that, to work your way from riding in the car with the boys to putting up the ring to being a referee and ending up being a manager, general manager on WWE to a Hall of Famer. Man, I use your story all the time, Ted. I have just utmost respect and admiration for what you've done with your career and your life and who you are. I just want to let you know that. A lot of mutual respect going on, Teddy.
Well, thank you so much, Lex, and I really appreciate that, man. And that just goes to show you that God is good. You know what I mean?
That's
all I can say, man. All of this is because of God, because I had no idea where I would end up or what I would be doing. So I put it in God's hands, and here I am, and I'm just very fortunate to be able to work with people like you. You know, that kept me inspired and kept me going.
Thank you, Teddy, man. Hallelujah to that. Amen.
Yeah.
So tell us about that moment in the cage with Brody.
Getting back on track on that, the Bruiser Brody, I got asked all the time. It was a TV day in Florida. We did tapings all Wednesday. We drove all the way across from Tampa, across the Everglades to Miami. We were last match. I had never been in a cage match before.
Oh.
And I'm in a cage match with Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
Heard all these stories about him. I was so nervous. I had no idea what I was doing in there. And I think he sensed that early in the match. He just stopped working.
Yep.
And we had no idea what to do. Fortunately, and where a referee comes, and Teddy can relate this, I looked at Fonzie. I go, Fonzie, what do we do? He goes, man, brother, I don't know. And finally, he said, just back him in the corner and give him a few punches. I'll grab your arm. You sling me back, and I'll DQ you. Because he just stopped working.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, every time you were laying something in, he just sat there. Yeah,
it was scary. I mean, I just had a little baby at home with my wife, Peggy, and my little son, Brian. I was like, man, I don't know what's going on. I don't know whether he's on something. I knew he had his hands taped up with razor blades underneath the tape. I'm like, people asked me, I was scared. And then the guy could, then when we DQ'd the match, we couldn't get the cage door open. Now I'm stuck in there with him. I jumped up on the ropes and climbed out of the cage with a bat out of hell, like a scared rabbit, and ran back to my locker room. I sat back there. I go, man, I know Matsuda, who trained me. He'd want me to be a man's man and go over there and talk to him, ask him what I did wrong or what happened. So it was a stage there. The locker room said, I walked across the stage. Everybody else was pretty much gone. Engelbert Humperdinck was in there.
Ooh.
As his manager, I knocked on the door. I said, well, if I'm going to get my butt whooped, I'm going to get my butt whooped. I'll take it. And I knocked on the door and Engelbert waved me in. And I go, I'm so sorry, sir. I don't know what happened in there, but I want to apologize. He goes, nah, no big deal, man. He goes, it just wasn't working. He goes, been a long day. He goes, I'm turning baby face down in Texas with the Von Erichs on TV. I know they're getting ready to switch you heel up in Atlanta. When he goes, it just wasn't working. He goes, you've never been in a cage before. No big deal. Bruiser Brody, fortunately for me, had turned back into Frank.
Okay.
In the locker room there. He was, so it ended in a good way, actually. But it really was, for me, not knowing the business I've been in a cage for and all the stories I heard about him.
This was a different time too, Lex. This is not like the smart people today.
Right.
Back then, you still were not quite sure what was happening.
And we trust each other, our bodies in the ring, and I was scared.
I'm sure.
I thought maybe he was on drugs. I didn't know. I guess he wasn't that kind of guy, really. But I was scared being in there with him. I really was. That was probably the most scared I've ever been in a wrestling ring, for sure.
Have you ever been scared around Teddy Long? Any memories with you and Teddy that you can tell us?
I had somebody. Teddy always made us laugh, and he's got such an incredible sense of humor. But really, my first time I met Teddy, I'm like, Teddy, you always had an aura about you. You were just getting started, and you put the ring up, you were refereeing. But first of all, the voice. I mean, I was like, he has got an incredible voice for radio or TV. Or I always knew, Teddy, that you were going to really, whether it was on radio or in wrestling or something, you had an aura about you. You're just a great personality and the voice. So just that was my first impressions of Teddy. He was always a joy to be around. I loved when Teddy had one of my matches. He was great to work with. So I had so much fun watching. I wasn't around you a lot as your career progressed. I was one place, you were at the other. But and then, of course, my life took a downturn outside of the ring. But it was so wonderful to watch you just blossom the way you did, Teddy. It was awesome.
Well, like I said, man, that's, you know, once again, you know, God is good. And I didn't even realize what I had. And I didn't realize that until I went to work with Vince. And I went out and I cut this promo one night, Lex, and I come back. And when I walked back in, Vince was waiting on me. And this is when I realized it. He stopped me and he said to me, he said, I can't believe I've had you right here under my nose all this time.
Oh,
and
my
the
gosh.
Next thing he said to me was,
that's not like him.
Well, I'm telling you, man, he said that to me. And then the next thing he said, they really wasted you down south.
Wow, man. High praise
from Vince McMahon there. And Vince McMahon did the same with you, Lex. I know that because he was a big proponent for you when you came into WWE. Much so, you got one of the creme de la creme of the managers when you went in. You had Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Bobby
Any memories
Brain,
of Bobby and
ever.
You working?
Yeah, I had a blast with Bobby's. Once again, like Teddy, just a fun guy to be around. But also the incredible history he had of if you just look at the list of guys that he managed and what he did on play-by-play, just an incredible talent. We all miss Bobby. He was just a wonderful guy and an incredible talent. It was an honor to work with him at all, of course.
Yeah, and he was always honest. That's the one thing about Bobby. Oh, yeah. He was always honest. He was another guy, too, that came to me. Him and Mean Gene Okerlund, God rest their souls. They came to me one day in WCW, and they stopped me. And they told me, they said, if Vince McMahon knew you, he would blow you up. Now, they told me that, and I didn't even never even pay that no attention until I finally went to work for Vince. And
that
I
must
remember,
have kind of blew your mind at the time.
Oh, God, it just, because I didn't even understand what they meant, blow me up. I don't know. Yeah. But when that happened, I went back to start thinking. I'm like, wow, this is what those guys meant.
That is so good. I love it. I love stories like that.
Lex, let me ask you, during your run as the Narcissist, I've heard you say that that was one of your favorite roles. You felt like that encompassed who you were. How did that change come about when you became the American Hero? That had to be when you're loving the persona so much and you're told to switch it out in a drastic way like that. How difficult was that?
It was very dramatic. I mean, I was pretty much what my career known as kind of my nickname was a total package. But when I got there, Vince always liked to put a stamp on you himself. Yep. And he came up with the Narcissist. And I love that because especially a lot of people would vouch that back then my personality in real life kind of matched the character. So it came natural. I enjoyed working as a heel. It's much easier, I felt, back when I was working to get people to dislike you than it is get people to like you because they got to learn to trust you. Wrestling fans are special. And they got to embrace you as a baby face or a good guy. It takes time and they got to really trust you and learn to love you and trust you. As a heel, you can just be outrageous and give them to hate you a lot easier. I love working as a heel. So I really wish I could have had a longer run. But he called me into his office right before the summer of 93 and said, we're going to put you in a bus and make you the American Hero. And you're going to slam Yokozuna on the U.S. Trevor. First of all, I said, can he be slammed?
Yeah.
Second of all, we did a walkthrough the week before, but they didn't want me to slam him at the time because they didn't want him to get hurt. I'm like, what about me? That'd be like a double hernia.
God, yeah.
But, yeah. So, but Vince, like he was with you, Teddy, he goes, don't worry about it. It'll work. And that was a very, if I go over the top five moments of my career, that day on the U.S. Intrepid and that hot summer day when I slammed him out with the backdrop of Manhattan on that historic battleship. Yeah. That was set up so beautifully in the helicopter. It's a very memorable moment for me. A real highlight, one of the highlights of my career. We had an incredible tour. A lot of people felt that with that kind of buildup in SummerSlam, maybe I should have won the match rather than have the DQ. And then Yoko was such a great heel. Turn it back over to Yoko, have him, you know, do something with Fuji to win it back, but I should have shown the result. But it was the tour, the Intrepid and the tour was fabulous and an incredible turnout. And so I enjoyed, being the baby face there. And people, I said, well, he was trying to make you into the next Hulk Hogan. I go, I never felt that way, nor did he make it out that way. He never promised me the title. I just felt he thought Brett was leaving and Hogan was leaving at the time, maybe, and he wanted a baby face. And then I was going to try to be the best I could be. But yeah. He never promised me that I was going to be the world champion or anything like that. A lot of people thought that. And there was only going to ever be one Hulk Hogan.
I never felt
pressure on that because I always knew. And I know he knew there was never going to be another Hulk Hogan. He was a once in a generation kind of character.
I wish we could keep going on, but we can't because we're about to run out of time. But Lex, I certainly appreciate the time. I do want to bring up something, though.
Okay.
As a wrestling fan from the South, it was really big for me when you came back to WCW and made your debut on Nitro.
What in the hell is he doing here? Get the kid off of here.
Because for me, and I think for a lot of the Southern wrestling fans, WCW, NWA, whatever you want to call it during those times, that was your home. And even to this day, I feel like that's your real home. But I'm curious, what do you consider your home?
Oh, wrestling's wrestling. I know Teddy can agree, probably agree on that. But
yes,
I always felt more comfortable back into a WCW because my friendship was staying, of course, which is an incredible friendship to this day, lifelong friendship. I definitely felt at home going back to WCW. I had a great opportunity, obviously, to walk out in the first Nitro where the wars began as kind of a surprise guest. So that was another huge moment. Thank you for asking me about that. It was huge. And being a part of the Monday Night Wars after that was an historic time in wrestling. So great memories.
Teddy, real quick, anything you want to ask before I close this out here?
No, I just want to take the time to thank Lex for taking time out of his busy schedule and giving us this time that we were able to talk to him and talk a little bit about his career. And there are some things that I know a lot of the fans now that are watching wrestling that remember Lex, but they don't really remember some of the stories. So I think we kind of educated them a little bit on Lex's career and everything. And, man, Lex, thank you once again for coming. And yes. I know I'll see you somewhere down the road. And if there's anything that I can do for you or whatever, please feel free to let me know. And, man, I'm there for you.
Thanks, Teddy. Keep on doing what you're doing. I'll see you at the LA Fitness in Atlanta there.
Well, I was there today.
I missed you, but we both work out at the same gym a lot. And by the way, I ran into you at a Signal one time. I beeped you at my car. You were in some kind of beautiful classic. What was that?
That's my truck. It's a 1964 C10.
I was beeping my horn at you. I was right next to the Signal, but I couldn't get your attention. You must have been jamming on the sound system or something.
Hey, Lex, I've got to give you a hard time here.
Fitness, Teddy. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Lex. And I'm going to give you a hard time about the Buffalo Bills background, considering you're living in Georgia, and we're all three here in Georgia living right now, and you got the Buffalo Bills behind you.
Man, well, I don't blame.
We're all rooting for our Bills. Go Bills!
Let me step in there. I don't blame Lex for having the Bills behind him. I'm behind them too. I can't support the Falcons.
No, yeah, you can't do that. You definitely can't support the Falcons right now.
Go Bills!
Lex, thank you so much, brother.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you.